Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast.
How many of you, again, kind of connecting with what we've just prayed for and how we've just worshiped through that song, how many here have ever just felt like, boy, what I'm doing is completely meaningless and completely futile and completely pointless? Has anyone ever been in a situation where you're just like, man, that thing I'm doing is pointless? Okay, yeah, I get you. Some of us, like, maybe a good example is, like, you're trying to, like, work out because you want, like, to have good health, and so you're going to the gym, and you're lifting the weights, and you're doing the diet thing, and you're doing all this stuff, and the pounds aren't coming off, and you're like, man, this is pointless. Why am I even bothering with this exercise routine, this diet routine? It's not working out. Some of us, maybe we're, like, trying to get our kids in line, and because they're acting up, and so we're doing discipline, and we're having little chats with them, and we're seeing professionals about whatever the issue is, and they're not changing, and they're acting up foolishly again and again. It's like, why do I even bother with these kids? Like, they're just so crazy. It's pointless to bother trying to set them right. I'm just going to let them be chaotic and just go out of the house and go to Walmart for 5 hours and hope that they're still alive when I get home, all right? Some of us, we're at work, and we're putting in the hours. We're doing overtime, and we're trying to get our boss to see the good that we're doing in hopes of a raise or in hopes of more vacation or in hopes of more respect, whatever it is, and your boss is just like, I don't care. Thank you. That's great. No reward. And you're like, why do I bother with this job? Why do I bother with this boss? Why do I put this time and effort into this job when I'm not getting rewarded with extra pay or extra benefits or extra respect? My boss is still a jerk. Why do I bother? It's so pointless. We have these things in our lives where we put in effort, we put in time, we put in energy to try and make something better in our own lives, and it comes up short, and we say to ourselves, this is pointless. This is worthless. This is not worth my time. This is not worth my effort. This is not worth my energy. I should just not bother. We've been there? Amen? And then we start to see this kind of thing happen in our own spiritual walk. We follow Jesus, we get into the Word, we join a small group, we come to church, we pray, we do all the things, and we feel like our lives are not changing. We feel like we're still broken. We feel like we're still lost. And we say to ourselves, why bother? Why bother being obedient and faithfully walking with Christ when my life still sucks? Some of us, we are really passionate about sharing our faith with coworkers, neighbors, and family members, and we're putting in all this time and energy to try and, like, convince them to follow Jesus because, you know, as I know, like, it's the best thing ever, but you share your faith with them, and they're just, like, got concrete in their ears or something, and they're just not getting it. And you think to yourself, why should I bother sharing my faith with these people when they're not getting it and I'm wasting all my time and energy with this person? Why should I bother? We get in these ruts where things are not going the way we want them to. They're not going the way we anticipated, not the way we expected. And the temptation to quit, the temptation to give up, the temptation to not bother starts to set into our hearts, and we want to take our foot off the gas and say, I'm not going to participate anymore. I'm going to disengage now. I'm not going to bother following Jesus anymore. I'm going to stop going to church. I'm going to stop reading my Bible. I'm going to stop sharing my faith. I'm just not going to bother because my life's not being changed, and I'm not seeing the results that I want to see. It's pointless. We've been there. We've been in this series throughout the book of 1 Samuel. And we've been focusing mostly on the character of King Saul. And by now you should have a sense that King Saul was an idiot, right? Amen? King Saul was an idiot? Yeah. He was pretty dumb. And so we've looked a lot at King Saul and everything that he's done and everything that he's done wrong. But today, we're going to look at a different character, and that is the character of Jonathan. Jonathan was King Saul's son. And Jonathan was a total, complete opposite to King Saul. King Saul was dumb. He made horrible mistakes. He didn't follow God when he was supposed to. Jonathan, on the other hand, is the son of King Saul, which means that when Saul dies, he's supposed to be the next king, because that's how kings work, right? Your son always replaces you when you die. So Jonathan is king in waiting, but we know from the stories that we've looked at, Saul messes up. God takes the kingdom away from Saul and gives it to David. Now, Jonathan, when you look at his life and you skim through these chapters of 1 Samuel, you realize, Jonathan, he had it put together. Mentally, emotionally, spiritually, he followed God no matter what. He was a great leader. He was brave in battle. He was strong. You know, he would have made a great king had it not been for his father, Saul, ruining it for him. And yet, when it's made clear to Jonathan that you don't get to be king anymore because your dad screwed up, it's going to be this guy David now, Jonathan doesn't get jealous. Jonathan doesn't get spiteful. Jonathan doesn't try to make it so that David doesn't become king. Jonathan stays loyal to David. Jonathan recognizes, oh, David's the king now. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to be loyal to him. I'm going to do what he says. I'm going to fight for him. I'm going to be in battle for him. And so we look at Jonathan, and he is abundantly faithful to God and to David, regardless of the fact that his opportunity to be king has been taken away from him because of his father. And then we get to the end of Jonathan's life. You know what happens to him? He dies in battle with his dad. He is shoulder to shoulder with his dad, and they die in the same battle. And so Jonathan has all this faithfulness towards God and towards David, and he's not rewarded for any of it. He's not granted his own kingdom. He doesn't get to be king. He doesn't even get to keep his own life, and he dies with his father, who was the bonehead that caused all the problems for him in the first place. Jonathan had every right, every opportunity. It may have been totally justifiable for Jonathan to be like, you know what? Screw David. Screw my dad. Screw God. I'm not doing any of it. I don't care. This is so pointless. Why would I fight for the guy who's replaced me? Why would I fight for my father who's messed up for me? Why would I fight for this God who is causing all this disruption in my life? He could have done that. And yet Jonathan says no to any of that. He says, I'm going to be faithful to God. I'm going to be faithful and loyal to David. I'm going to fight for God and fight for David to the bitter end. And even if that means I lose my own life, I'm going to follow it no matter what. I'm going to be faithful no matter what. So Jonathan, he's faithful, he's loyal, he does all these things, and he dies. And we might feel tempted to say, well, what was the point? Why would Jonathan bother when he doesn't become king, he doesn't get any rewards, he doesn't get any riches, why would he bother? 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 7 gives us the answer of why. Before we read that, here's the context. Years after Saul and Jonathan have died, and David has been king for a while, there's been some civil war activity. There's been some conflict within Israel. That's all kind of settled down at this point. And David's kind of in this place where, okay, there's peace in the land, and there's peace in the kingdom, and everything's going well. And David's looking back on everything that's happened previous to this point, and he goes, well, you know, I really wish there was a way for me to honor Jonathan. Jonathan was so loyal to me. He was so kind to me. He did all the right things. He followed God. He was obedient to God. I wish there was a way I could honor him, but he's dead. I can't. If only there was a descendant of Jonathan that I could bless. And so David puts out the word, like, is there anyone alive who is a descendant of Jonathan? And what we discover is that Jonathan had a son named, here we go, Mephibosheth. We're going to use the word Mep going forward. I am not trying that again. His name is Mep. Got it? So Jonathan's got a son named Mep. And Mep is crippled. He's lost his father. He's lost any kind of security within his own family because Saul's family's been wiped out and there's been all this chaos. And so Mep is in this place where it's like, life is pretty bitter and miserable. But David finds him. And he brings him into his palace. And he says this to him in verse 7. Don't be afraid, David said to him, for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul. And you will always eat at my table. Jonathan doesn't get land. Jonathan doesn't get a crown. Jonathan doesn't get a seat at the table. Jonathan dies. What is the point? Why bother, Jonathan? The point is because of Mep. Mep gets the rewards. He gets the land. He gets the seat at the table. He gets the kindness of the king. It's not for Jonathan's sake. It's not that Jonathan gets rewarded. It's that his descendants after him get rewarded. And so here's our main point for today. Your faithfulness today is necessary for results tomorrow. Amen? Your faithfulness today is necessary for results tomorrow. You see, Jonathan was faithful and got nothing for it. Mep didn't do anything. He's crippled. He can't even fight in battle. But he gets the rewards. He gets the results. Because of Jonathan's faithfulness, Mep has blessings and riches and health, and he's looked after. Your faithfulness today is necessary for results tomorrow. You can think of it like this. Olivia and I bought a house a little over a year ago, and on our property there's an apple tree. And last summer, there was all these apples growing on the tree, and Claire and I would go outside and pick apples and eat them. I think we made one or two pies out of some of the apples we picked. We got the rewards of these apples from this apple tree. Did I plant that tree? The owners of the house before me did. It takes approximately anywhere between 7, 10, maybe 15 years for an apple tree to grow when you plant the seed. When you plant the seed of a tree in the ground, it takes years before it produces fruit. There's a possibility that you could plant a seed for a tree in the ground today and then die, but it's your children, your grandchildren, and the community that gets to consume the fruit. They get the rewards. They get the blessings. They get the riches. You see, this apple tree was planted by someone else. I get the reward. Clara gets the reward of these apples. Your faithfulness today is necessary for results tomorrow. If you are planting, you might not see the results for yourself. You might not get the rewards for yourself, but someone else might. Jonathan does not get the rewards, but Mephibosheth does. So when we think about our own life, we think about these things we're dealing with. You know, if we go back to thinking about going to the gym, yeah, you might not be seeing the results as far as what you hope to see on the scale, but you might be adding 10 years to your life that you wouldn't have already had if you hadn't gotten your health fixed. And then you're around longer to be a better influence to your family. You might have some kind of money issue, and you've been like trying to invest and trying to save and trying to do all the right things with your finances, and you're not seeing results right now, and you're still feeling like you're pinching pennies, and you still feel like you're strained. But the financial decisions and faithfulness you're doing today may be the difference between your kids going to college or not. You might be following Jesus and still feeling broken and still feeling lost. And you're not seeing what you want to be seeing right now. Maybe you've been following Jesus and you had experiences from the past and you're like, oh man, like that was such a good spiritual high and God was at work in my life and everything was great, but now it's like not, and I want that back and I'm not seeing it. Your faithfulness today is necessary for results tomorrow. You might not see it today. You might not see it in your own life. You might see it in your children. You see, when your children see you following Jesus in spite of the junk that you're going through, they see your faithfulness. They're inspired by it. You might not see results in yourself, but results can come down the road in someone else. You might be sharing your faith, and you've been like preaching it and evangelizing, and people are not getting it, and you're like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. I feel like giving up. Did you know that when it comes to sharing our faith, some of us are meant to be the ones that plant, some of us are meant to be the ones that water, and some of us are meant to be the ones that bring in the harvest. When I was a student in university, our professor would take us out and we would go do like street level evangelism. And it was always interesting because I would talk to people and they would accept Jesus right there on the spot. And I would go, wow, that was easy. And after a few times of doing that, I started to get a little bit of an ego going, hey, I'm like really good at this. I'm a pro. And my professor was like, there was people before you planting the seed, watering the seed. You were just used at that moment for them to cross that line. You might be sharing your faith with that neighbor or that coworker and they're not getting it. And then like weeks from now, months from now, years from now, they're going to be down in Florida on vacation and they're going to meet some random Christian from some other part of the world and it's just going to click. Your faithfulness today is necessary for results tomorrow. So, what do we do? How do we apply this when we're feeling like giving up and we feel like throwing in the towel and we feel like, what's the point? Why do I bother? Well, what you need to do is continue being faithful regardless of what you're seeing. You got to keep doing the right thing no matter the results you're seeing today. Your faithfulness today needs to continue being faithfulness today. You can't quit being faithful when there is stuff down the road that God has planned, and you're planting the seed, and you're preparing the way. You got to keep doing the right thing. We got to lean into this idea of there being a process, that some people have transformation overnight, and it's amazing, and others, it's a journey. It's a process. And so you might be looking at someone else who is having those results right now, and you're like, I want that now. Why do they get to have that now? There's a process. There was a process for that person to get to that point. You got to be faithful throughout the process. God is not done doing his work in you even after you first believe. My life has demonstrated that. There's been so many times in my own life where, yeah, I made a decision to follow Jesus when I was 12 years old and got baptized then and got called to ministry, and you would think, well, there's nothing left. Well, no. There's still work to be done in my own life. God's not done with me yet. I got to continue being faithful regardless of what I'm seeing now, regardless of what I've seen before, because there's more to be done in my own life. God's not done with me. God's not done with you. Jonathan could have quit, could have said, why bother? I'm not going to be king. I'm not going to eat at the king's table. I'm not going to have my lands. I'm not going to have any of these rewards and riches. Why bother? Someone else got the rewards because of his faithfulness. You want your kids sitting at the king's table? You got to be faithful to that king today. So, we need to do the right thing. We got to stick to the process. And we need to understand that our faithfulness today is necessary for the results we hope and dream for tomorrow. Maybe not in our own lives, but in the lives of our kids or in the lives of someone else of whose life we're touching, of who we're influencing. Because God's not done with you. The worship team's going to come and lead us in a few songs here. And as they do, I'm just processing this message myself and thinking, like, man, how is this hitting people? There may be some of you here who are just like, you've been feeling that pointlessness to your own spiritual journey. You have felt like walking away because you're not seeing the results that you've seen before or that you want to see now or that you're seeing in someone else, and you just feel like giving up. God's not done with you. He has more for you. And the faithfulness that you demonstrate today, even if that doesn't mean that you get what you want in the end, God still has his way through you so that others are blessed through you and through your faithfulness. And so as we sing these songs, maybe some of us just need to come forward to the altars and just surrender our own desires and our own dreams and our own goals for our lives or for our family, whatever it may be, and just accept what God is doing and what God wants. Some of us have to surrender this idea that we're entitled to the rewards of following Jesus. We're not. And some of us just need to give him praise and just thank him for his faithfulness. Thank him for his goodness, because he's been faithful every step of the way. Even when you felt like not being faithful, he was still faithful. What God is doing in your life and in our lives is leading to transformation through our church, for our community, for our families, for our workplaces, for everything. So if he can be faithful, we can be faithful. If Jonathan can be faithful, we can be faithful. Let's be faithful.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.